We are preaching through the book of Romans. We'll be in chapter 10 this morning, and as we continue our series, and just to remind you of what we preached on or what we covered last week, we will begin by reading the whole book or the whole chapter 10 of Romans, chapter 10. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. And here he's speaking of the Jews. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this will be our focal point from here on this morning. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you again for the opportunity to gather together as a body of believers and to, Lord, just to proclaim the truth of your word. And Father, we just pray that as we dig into this scripture this morning, Father, I pray that you would, Lord, that your sheep would hear your voice, that, Father, that you would make yourself known to your sheep here as we proclaim the gospel, as we proclaim the truth, as we proclaim your scripture. Father, may we hear your voice. May we hear, Jesus, may we hear your voice as we are in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So for the text last week really ended in verse 13 with the phrase, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you know, that was sort of a conclusion, or maybe a conclusion of, or a summary of what was spoken of before in the text. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's sort of a putting those statements together, but it's a statement of fact that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's just a fact. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter on your background. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Greek. Any of those things, it doesn't matter. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what we ended with in the scripture last week. But how does that come about? Okay, what are we to teach? How does it come to pass that people would call on the name of the Lord? Why would someone call on the name of the Lord? How does it come to someone to call upon the name of the Lord? How does it come to pass that people would confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised Him from the dead? You know, what do those things mean, believe in their heart and confess Jesus as Lord? What does all of this mean? You know, it's something we need to think about. As we continue that thought in verse 14 and following, in verses 14 and 15, I'll just read those now. How then will they call on Him? So we're going to kind of see these questions answered. How then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So we see this, everyone who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we've seen that in the scripture before this in verse 13. But we also saw that distinguishing in verse 9, where Paul distinguished between this calling upon the name of the Lord, this confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then he continues it in verse 10, that with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses. So there was sort of a distinguishing. It was a calling upon the name of the Lord, but there's something more to it. There's a belief and a confession that Jesus is Lord. And here in verses 14 and 15, we see that continued. In verse 13, we read that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then in verse 14, we read this 14 and 15, we see this series of questions. It's a series of questions like that progress, and they kind of go backwards. You see, we're starting at the calling on the name of the Lord, and then we're going to go backwards through a progression. And it really shows us the means that God uses to bring those to faith and to this confession that caused people to call upon the name of the Lord. And so we're going to go through it in that order, and then we're going to go back through it the other direction. So we're going to go down and then back through and speak about it some more. So how does one believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, calling on the name of the Lord? How does that happen? And then in verse 14 we see, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? So he says, all who call on the Lord will be saved. And then he says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? So he's saying, he asked this question. So everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved is not just a formula that we follow. You know, there's not a formula in this that we're following. If we think about, we could mechanically call upon people to call on the name of the Lord. We could manipulate our services here to get people to call upon the name of the Lord. We could tell them all kinds of things. You know, call upon the name of the Lord and your life will be blessed. Call upon the name of the Lord and all of these things could happen. I mean, we could make these promises, great promises of riches and prosperity, if you'll just only call upon the name of the Lord. But it's not a mechanical thing that we're trying to do to get people to call upon the name of the Lord. What we see here is a progression of what causes them to call upon the name of the Lord. So Paul asks a question here. How can they call upon the name of the Lord? How can they call on Him of whom they have not believed? And then he continues in the next section, he says, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? So we see that the final point is that they call in the name of the Lord, but they must believe in him before they can even call on him. And how can they believe in him whom they have never heard of? And you see in this text, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And I read through this text several times trying to figure it out. It seems that he's saying if they have not heard of him, how could they believe? But if you look in the Greek, there is no of in there. And I read it in several commentaries, and then the New American Standard Version actually has it. How are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? There is no of in there that makes a difference. And really, the him, it really says, how can they believe whom they have never heard? How can they believe whom they have never heard in Greek? So the of kind of changes it a little bit. And without the use of the of here, we see within the context of what we're reading and what follows is there is a hearing here that it's talking about. It's not really talking about hearing of Jesus. It's really speaking of hearing Jesus. There's a hearing Jesus in this. And it's this hearing Jesus, hearing from him, hearing from Jesus that leads to them to believe in a way that produces this calling out, calling upon the name of the Lord. And then Paul continues, and we'll get into that just a little bit more as we go through later. And Paul continues, and how are they to hear without someone preaching? So how are they to hear from this Jesus that will produce this belief or faith that will cause them to call out? How are they to hear this? How do they hear it without, unless someone preaches? And the word preach here is to make a proclamation. It's to proclaim facts. It's really to proclaim the facts, proclaim what has happened, and call for an action. Call for action. And so here we see just a little hint, and we'll talk about it some more, of the significance of the preached word. We're going to talk about it, but the significance that these facts are proclaimed. So someone has to preach and tell them, make a proclamation about this Jesus, about what has happened, so that they will hear from this Jesus and in turn believe in this Jesus and then in turn call upon his name. And then he continues, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? We see that in verse 15. How are they to preach unless they are sent? And so there's a sense of this sending here where Paul is sort of hinting to that he's going to ask the Romans later on in chapter 15 that they would support him as he intends to come to them and go on into Spain. And there's a sense in where he's speaking of that someone needs to send the preachers, right? There's a sense of that. But there's also a sense in this text, I don't think that's all there is to it, there's a sense here that someone cannot preach unless they are sent. There's a sending out of those who preach the good news. And we see it all throughout the Scripture, that those who preach are who? I mean, who are the preachers? They're not. Now, this is not just preaching here in the church. I'm talking about just those who would proclaim the truth. It's those who have been called to do that. So there's a special calling for preaching. Plus, all of us individually are called to proclaim this good news. There's a calling for all of us to be able to do that, to proclaim the good news. But there is a special calling upon those who would preach. So they are sent. Who are they sent by? First of all, they're sent by God. God calls them out for this particular thing, for this to be accomplished. He calls them out for that. So they're sent to preach by God. And then the church also sends as they affirm the calling of people that are sent out to preach. But primarily it's God that does the calling. God is the one who sends the preachers. And the Holy Spirit calls each of us to also do that, to be about making disciples as we go through our days. But But in verse 17, now I'm going through this quickly. We'll go back through just so you know. So in 17, there's kind of a summary, and I'm just going to read 15 again. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We see in this verse, in verse 17, sort of a summary of how this faith comes. This faith comes from hearing, from a hearing, and hearing from what? From the word of Christ, through the word of Christ. And we're going to go back through it, but I want to emphasize again, in chapter 10 of Romans here, we see a working, a salvation that's happening among people. And we see kind of a process, sort of how this salvation comes that leads to someone calling on the name of the Lord. But we got to be careful here not to see some formula in here. You know, I've heard it preached before that some would tell you there's several steps hidden away in the Scripture, and we got to search the Scripture out and find these steps. And by our intellect, we figure it out. We figure out this process that we go through to get right with God, to reach God, to make ourselves right with God. Sort of like they might have thought about the serpent. You know, the serpent was there, and it represented Christ that you talked about earlier. But we tend to like want to make a God of our own to worship, and we come up with these steps or a formula. And there's some that will tell you that it just takes you using your mental capacities to put all these pieces together and come up with this plan, this process that you go through to get to God, to make yourself right with Him. And that's not what we're doing here. That's not what is in our text. In our text, we see that it is God who acts. God prepares people. He calls people out and sends those people, the people whom He wills to do, to proclaim the good news to people. Just to proclaim the good news to people. And our Scripture talks about, it even describes the feet of those who preach this good news as beautiful. Beautiful are the feet of those who preach it. Do you think a feet is beautiful? Y'all, I don't. You know, I've not really seen feet that where I thought, man, causes me to think of beauty. You know, and I don't know. I've got some kids whose feet are pretty beautiful. You know, but typically, like James, when I look at James, I don't think beautiful feet. but that's what we see described here. The feet of those who preach it are beautiful. Those who hear this good news, okay, so God acts and He calls people out to preach the truth, to proclaim the gospel, the good news of what has been accomplished in Christ. He calls them out to do that. And those who hear this good news, who hear it and believe and call in the name of the Lord, see the action of those people, is beautiful. That's what He's talking about. It's like the feet of those. The feet of those who preach the good news are beautiful. To those who hear it, who hear what they're preaching, who actually hear it and believe. And I hope I'm not getting you mixed up by going the direction I'm going here, but we see in the text really the significance of the proclamation of the gospel, the proclamation of the Scripture. And It doesn't speak of it in here specifically, but we'll see it as we go back through. But God uses the means of His proclaimed word. He calls people to proclaim it. People proclaim the word of God, and He uses that means to bring about this faith that causes people to call on Him. Faith comes from hearing. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing what? We see that in our text. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing. What are we to hear? Is it our stories and maybe testimony? It could play a little part of what God has done for us. There's some of that in there. I mean, you know, And we could tell the story of what has been accomplished in our life by believing on Christ. We could that's maybe a little bit, but I don't think that's the primary thing. You know, a lot of times we put emphasis on our stories and on these things and on the way we live and all of those things. And that is the emphasis a lot of times. But what does this faith come from? It comes from hearing. And I want to read a story out of one of the commentaries I was reading that was really good. James Montgomery Boyce. The late Ray Steadman, who was a good friend and former pastor of the Peninsula Bible Church in California, knew Harry A. Ironside when he was pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago. He remembered Ironside describing a visit to Chicago by the flamboyant evangelist Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith got his name because he really did have a gypsy background, and he told many fascinating stories about growing up in a gypsy camp. So he told some wonderful stories. On this occasion, the message was made up mostly, almost entirely of these stories. At the end of the meeting, Gypsy Smith gave an altar call, and hundreds of people surged forward. Have you ever been in a position like that? You know, where a story is told, and it's a moving story, and there's an altar call, and lots of people come forward. I've been there at times where I thought, you know, what is it we're to proclaim, you know? But anyway, this is Ironside looked at it, and he used to say that he wondered what they were coming forward for. Perhaps, he said, they wanted to become gypsies. See, they were all the stories. This guy had some wonderful stories. That point was a good one, since one of the things that sets Christianity off from other world religions is that it deals with objective truth and with the facts of history. Unless the facts are proclaimed, the message is not Christianity. Unless the facts are understood and believed, the faith that follows is not true faith, regardless of its intensity. And I believe that is so true. The preacher is prepared. He proclaims this objective truth, the facts of history, the fact of who Jesus Christ was, the facts that we have in the Scripture. He proclaims the truth of the Scripture. He proclaims the fact that the Bible is the Word of God, the very Word, breathed out Word of God, the fact that Jesus was God. He was with God, but He became a man and suffered the wrath of God against sins in the place of sinners, that He died and rose from the grave. We proclaim these objective facts. It's these objective facts proclaimed that is vital. That's the vital thing. And when he's talking about this preaching, that's what we are to be preaching. That's why we here at Little Red River Bible Church focus so much on the Word of God. You know, we've read a lot of Scripture already this morning, earlier, and that's why we focus on it. Because it's in this proclamation of the Word of God that this peculiar hearing takes place. There's a hearing, this hearing from Christ. It takes place through the Word of God. It doesn't take place in my personal stories. It doesn't take place in my subjective ideas about stuff. It takes place within this objective truth that we have in the Bible. So, you know, subjectivity would be my understanding, you know, what I think. So I can tell you all day what I think about stuff. But where this hearing takes place, where people hear from Christ, is whenever they hear the objective, outside of my understanding or my thinking, the objective truth of what has been accomplished by Christ. And as we proclaim the truth in the Scripture, as we proclaim the Word of God, something happens. Something happens among some people. And I'm just going to read this. I don't have it up here, but you can turn with me if you want in John 10. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 7. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves, or all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, and I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And then if you skip down to verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So God prepares people, prepares those that are going to go proclaim the truth to other people, to anyone, to the whole world. We're going to proclaim the truth to all of those that we come in contact. We're going to preach the word. As we share the gospel, we're going to preach and share these objective facts. These are things that happen, and call on people to repent and believe this good news that we share. God prepares the preacher to do that. This is the means He uses. He prepares that. And these people are to preach the Word of God, preach these objective facts. And as we do that, you know what happens? A miraculous thing happens. A miraculous thing happens. The sheep that are out there, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So as we proclaim these objective truths, these objective facts, as we preach the Word of God, the sheep, that when they hear that, they hear the voice of Christ through the Word of God, that the sheep hear His voice, and they hear Him. They'll listen. And what do? They believe. They listen and they believe, and they'll call upon the name of the Lord. So it's the Scripture, the Word of God, that we are to proclaim. That's why we emphasize it so much. We could stand up here and read a couple of verses and tell all kinds of funny stories and fill this place up. Man, we could get some lasers and do some stuff in here, and we could have the whole 5 acres back here full of buildings. If we wanted to, we could preach and we could make it be a, we could have a nice show. We could put on a show and preach what people want to hear. We could proclaim this idea that God intends to bring you health and wealth and all these things, and try to preach a message that props up man and makes them feel better about themselves and fill this place up. But we are to preach the Word of God, because it's only in that Word of God that the true sheep will hear the voice and will believe and be converted. It's not in all that other stuff. And we know that. We know it from our text this morning. But as we continue, I'm going to read the rest of the chapter, 10:16-21. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Okay, so he's talking about the preachers that proclaim the word. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will make you jealous, and those who are not a nation, with a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. So we talk about the truth. This has to be proclaimed, and the sheep will hear his voice. So there's a preaching the truth, a hearing, a believing, and this calling out upon the name of the Lord. But some do not believe. He says here, he says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And then he continued, well, the first part, he quotes from 53:1. Lord, who has believed, from Isaiah 53:1, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? We see Isaiah saying this, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? And then he goes through the rest of Isaiah 53, which is just a beautiful picture. You know, it's pointing to Christ. It's the gospel, Isaiah 53. But in Isaiah's day, did a lot hear and believe the message that he was proclaiming, what God was having him to proclaim? They didn't. They rejected it in Isaiah's day. And he says that, who has believed what he has heard from us? And then tells us the gospel. But they had not believed it. What they have heard, this faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, yet they did not believe. They heard it, but they did not believe. And so he asks here, but I ask, have they not heard? So someone might say, but they have not heard. Have they not heard, Paul? Have they not heard? They didn't believe, but have they heard? Have they not heard? And what does he say? He answers it there. He says, indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. So someone might question, you know, all of Israel, all have not believed. The gospel's been proclaimed, they didn't all believe. And they might say, well, they've not heard. And he says, they have heard. God has proclaimed it. And this, you know, this is referring back to Psalm 19, which was talking about the heavens proclaim, you know, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. And then it goes into special revelation at the end, but it talks about it talks about general revelation and special revelation in Isaiah 19. But they did hear it. What he's saying is they have heard. They have heard. And then he explains that they've heard in verse 19. But I ask, did Israel not understand? For Moses, first Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. So he says, you might ask, have the Jews of the day of this day, have they not heard, Paul? He would say, they have heard. And then the scripture here shows, he says, I will make you jealous of the I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation, and with a foolish nation I will make you angry. The Israelites, the Jews of the day, had shown that they had heard because of the reaction that Moses tells about here. He made them jealous. Okay, he made them angry. He's talking about a nation, the Gentiles. They were not called a nation. They were part of nations, but they were not a called out nation like the Israelites were. But he says, I will make the Israelites, the Jews, jealous by a nation who is not called a nation, those who are not a nation. And then he says, I will make you angry. I will make you, with this foolish nation, I will make you angry. And you look at how the Jews reacted as the gospel went out among the Gentiles, how Paul's preaching this idea that Christ came to fulfill the law. How did they react? Angry, wasn't it? I mean, so they heard what Paul was preaching. They heard it. They heard what he was saying. They understood what he was saying. They showed it by the way they reacted. But if it was just some foolish paganism that was out there, there were pagans all around them. Did you see Israel getting angry about all the pagans around? They kind of liked it a little bit, didn't they? They were drawn to the paganism. They would go worship And, you know, they would go, I mean, they were all the time chasing after other idols. That's why God wanted them to be separate, because they were lured into idol worship like that. But when they saw the truth of what the disciples and what Christianity was teaching, what did it do? It made them angry. They wanted to wipe it out. Why? Because they heard it. They heard, but they did not hear. You see what I mean? They heard, but they did not hear. Because if they heard, if they really heard, what would happen? They would be calling on the name of the Lord. But they did hear. They hear. And then he also says, did they understand? And it shows here that they understand because of the reaction. They heard and they understood, but they rejected it. They angrily rejected it. And in verse 21, we see, but of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. We see here that the hands of God had been continually held out to this people. And how did they react? They constantly were being disobedient. They did not obey the gospel. They didn't believe it. They didn't obey. They didn't really obey. They were disobedient and they were contrary. They liked to not obey it. They liked to not obey it. Now we think I'm mentioning Israel like this, but we can apply this to all of us, and you know, we can apply this to all of us in ways. Israel had heard. The Jews had heard. They understood. They had the law and the prophets. You know, they had heard it over and over. They had Isaiah 53. How could they not read Isaiah 53 and then see Jesus? It's like they heard it, but they did not hear. They heard it, but they did not believe. They had the law and the prophets. They had all of these pictures that pointed to Christ. After he died, what happened? The veil of the temple was torn. They saw that. What did they do? They sewed it back together. They took it to an upholsterer and sewed it back together. It was torn from top to bottom. They saw the witnesses that were raised from the dead and were proclaiming this good news. They had seen and heard all of this stuff. They heard and understood, but they rejected it with jealous anger. They did. And so, y'all remember we're talking about the Jews and Israel. We're talking about there's a people out there, and some will hear the truths as we proclaim them, and they will believe it. They will hear because they are the sheep. The sheep will hear the voice of the Lord. So just some quick facts to kind of conclude the sermon. Now, James may preach on this again next week, so there's a lot more here, but the main thing we want to point out is that it is vitally important that we see the means that God uses to bring people to Himself. We must proclaim the truth by preaching the Word of God. It's vital that we do that. That's why we emphasize it so much. Because we believe it's through the Word of God that people hear and that people believe, and that people are sanctified as they're continually in the Word of God. It's what God uses to speak to us. If you'll notice that calling upon the name of the Lord at the beginning, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, we could preach that if we preach that alone. You've seen people that focus on the calling, on just the belief in the calling. If you'll just believe, if you'll ask Jesus into your heart and call upon Him, you'll be saved. And that's what people preach sometimes. People just preach that. They don't dig into the Scripture and really explain what the gospel means. I've been in hundreds of services where there was an altar call where the gospel was not explained. And I've been to revivals where the gospel was not preached. There was no gospel. I've been there, have y'all? I've been somewhere where the gospel was not preached at all. They didn't explain who Jesus was or anything. It was really all about doing something to get yourself right with God. So the whole sermon is about you deciding to follow Jesus or something like that, which is, there is a part that we play. We do follow Jesus, but the sermon was on that, and people came forward. And I would have to be like, wonder, what are they coming forward for? And so, people who come forward in those situations, maybe they've heard something before, and I mean, they could be saved. I'm not saying that they're not, but it's vital that we really proclaim all of the gospel. We really preach the deep truths of the gospel, because it's by those things that God will He will use those things to cause the sheep to truly, truly hear His voice. And another point of this text is, not everyone that we proclaim the truth to will hear it. Not all that we proclaim the truth to will really hear it and believe it. And we can't be concerned about that. We proclaim the truth. We proclaim it to those that are there, and we leave it up to God to speak to them. So we can't just completely be concerned and down, you know, and be down about that. We just can keep proclaiming the truth about what has been accomplished in Christ. And, you know, you see this in Isaiah. He says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Like no one had believed. Who has believed this? And you see it constantly, and then we see it back in the text that we read today. Let me get there. It's where it says here in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not all. And of the Jews, how many of them had believed? A few. You know, there was a small group that had believed. So not all will listen to our message, and not all will listen to the scripture. Not all will hear it and believe. Not all will be happy about what we have to say. Most will not. That's what we have to get. Most will reject. Most will not be happy with what we have to say. Some will. You know, that's the thing we got. Some may be angry about it, but some will hear and believe, and their lives will be changed, and they will glorify God the rest of their lives. And so we have to just know that and not be concerned. We just preach the truth. And there's also the some that will angrily reject the gospel. I honestly believe if we're truly preaching the gospel and we're not getting angry responses against it, let me rephrase that. If we think we're preaching the gospel and we're not getting angry responses at times, we're probably not preaching it. You know, we're probably not truly preaching it. But as we see the text here, what happened to Paul lots of times? I mean, he was stoned and drug out of town. As the disciples preached, what happened? I mean, it brought rage from people. And so as we proclaim the gospel, if we really proclaim it, there will be some angry reaction to it like that. And we should not be surprised by that, because we know that there's going to be some of those who are going to call our feet beautiful because they have truly heard it. They've truly heard it. And so as we look at our text, you know, we were talking in the last few verses about, you know, some of Israel, a few had heard, but not many. And, you know, people would question that. People might question, why is that? But what we got to look at is they had truly heard the gospel and they rejected it. And a lot of the people that we preach to will hear and reject it. But we just continually to proclaim it, just trusting that God uses that to bring people to Himself. And those who reject it, it's not our fault. They don't have any excuse for it. It's on them. I mean, if you reject the truth of what Christ has done, you've done it yourself. When someone stands and before the judgment seat and they're condemned, they're not going to be saying, wait. They're going to know. I mean, it's what they have done. It's their rejection, their sin, that they will stand there. Their sin will not be removed. So mainly as we continue to preach the scripture, we just need to pray that people that are here will be touched, and that our children here will hear the truth, and they will hear Jesus preaching to them in it, Jesus speaking and calling them in it. And I just ask you all, have you heard Him calling you? Have any of you heard Him calling? Are you hearing Him calling you constantly as you're in the Scripture? Believe on Him. Believe on His name and call upon His name. And you know what? You will be saved. You will be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and Father, I just pray that, Lord, my stumbling through this morning, I just pray that through your word, that you will, Lord, that you would give us courage to share and to preach and proclaim you, proclaim the truth of your word, the objective truths that we see in the scripture. And Father, I just pray that you would encourage each person here to dig deeper so that they have a deeper understanding of what all was accomplished in Christ. And Father, if there's anyone here who's not trusted in you as their Savior, Father, I just pray that you would, Lord, that you would let them hear your voice through the word, through this word that we have read this morning. And Father, we just thank you that you've given it to us. And thank you for all that was accomplished in Christ on the cross for us. And Father, we just pray that you would, Lord, that you would continue to grow us as a church. And Father, that you would continue to grow us in our faith. And Father, we just pray that you would continue to just increase that joy that we all have as we consider all that you have done for us. And Father, we just want to glorify you in all that we do and say. And Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time that we've had to be together. We just pray that you would bless it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.